Democratic and Republican.
We're going to go out and we will create more and better jobs. And we will be in a great state again.
The city council is considering whether to put a measure on the ballot.
I'm very concerned about our budget.
Governor Rick Snyder.
It is Wednesday, and on Wednesdays, we speak with Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lessenberry about what's going on in state politics. A state House panel unanimously approved two medical marijuana bills yesterday. One would allow medical marijuana dispensaries to operate in the state again. The other would let patients use edible forms of marijuana. Now, Jack, these aren't the only medical marijuana bills floating around in Lansing right now. Why are there so many changes being proposed on this issue?
Republicans in general oppose medical marijuana and certainly expansion of it, but there is a feeling that eventually the federal government may end the prohibition on marijuana, or certainly medical marijuana, and they want to have it as controlled as possible. They want pharmacies to be dispensing it under controlled conditions. Democrats are a little dubious of this, but in some form this will likely pass, I think.
State House Speaker Jace Bolger says the House is close to a vote on legislation that would double the amount of money people can give to political campaigns. The bill would also block a proposal that would require groups who pay for so-called issue ads to disclose their donors. Critics of this legislation say it would only benefit large campaign spenders and that it would threaten transparency. How would this legislation affect the state?
Well, there's several wars going on here at several levels, Christina. Within the Republican Party, there's a prohibition, an amendment that would prohibit PACs from getting involved in primaries. Now, this is the Tea Party people hate that the mainstream or the incumbent Republicans are doing this because in some cases they're talking about, as they say, primarying, challenge Republicans they think are not sufficiently conservative or radical enough with Tea Party candidates in primaries. In some cases, groups like Club for Growth may come in and spend a lot of money to try to knock off incumbents. That prohibition would prevent that. The Tea Party is mad about that. But Democrats and, in general, good government groups, people like the Michigan Campaign Finance Network, are just appalled by this prohibition against forcing disclosure of who's behind funding of these so-called issue ads, which are thinly disguised ads meant to sway the voters. Now, Secretary of State Ruth Johnson has come out. This was all preempted by her announcement she was going to issue a regulation requiring disclosure. And if this reaches the governor's desk, he's going to have a choice of either sort of stiffing his Secretary of State or offending the legislature. And if he does sign this bill, it would appear to contradict things that he said calling for full disclosure. So there's a whole lot of stuff going on here.
Now, the legislature wraps up work for the year tomorrow. What are they going to get done, and what will they try to put off?
Certainly, they're not going to pass everything tomorrow. They may come back later on in the year, but I tend to doubt it. And there's a hint that some of this stuff certainly may be deferred till January.
And finally, Jack, Mary Barra will be the new CEO of General Motors, the first female to take the post. What effect could this have on GM and the auto industry?
Well, this is certainly a case of breaking the glass ceiling in the auto industry. The interesting thing about Mary Barra, people say nothing but praise for her, she is a lifer at GM. She's a product of sort of the old system. She joined GM as an 18 or 19-year-old intern when she was going to engineering school and has worked there her entire life. She's 51 years old, has been there since she was a teenager. And so the big mantra of the few years is that GM needed to change the way it did things. Now, obviously, Dan Akerson, the leading retiring CEO, and other folks think that she is a change instrument. And in the past, we've seen GM run into trouble because of lifers found it hard to fire or ask their friends to do things they didn't want to do. So while Mary Barra is certainly the first woman, we'll just have to see if she continues the sort of reinvention and reinvigoration of General Motors.
All right, Jack, as always, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's political analyst.